And Romans chapter 2, if you could, or Romans chapter 1, if you could take your Bibles, and if you're able to stand, do stand in the honor of reading God's Word. I'll be finishing up this chapter today, and it's kind of an odd end of a chapter, because Paul is telling the Romans, he's wrote to them, and talking about some situations that were going on at in Rome, and how to deal with things, and because word would get around, and this is exactly what was happening. And so, anyway, we'll start reading in verse 24. It says, Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or unbecoming, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, and we know that this is a pretty hard reading of the Word of God, but the fact of the matter is these things go on. They went on 2,000 years ago, and it seems like nothing ever changes. And if anything, they just get worse and worse. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to pray for those that we know, and that, God, that you would help them. But those, Father, that have us to realize that you are a God that is holy. You're a God that of pure eyes, that will not look upon that which is evil. And Lord, that we could be those who would share the gospel with people who need it most. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You say, well, that's all bad news. Well, the good news is Jesus Christ died for each and every sin that is there, that which was dealt with. Now, we know from the book of Genesis that God will not always strive with men. There'll be a time that, well, there's going to be a time when the saints are going to be called out of here in the rapture, and that'll be the end of that. And the devil will be let loose, and how many people will be really turned over completely and absolutely to their reprobate minds? And you know, it's a sad thing, but it's where it is. But in the past, we have looked from chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. We saw the revelation. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, man is without excuse, and that is one of the revelations that you say, well, Lord, I did not know. Well, a person with eyes in any kind of sense can look around and know that there is a God. Even the ones who, I saw this guy in the mall the other day, and he had this shirt on. I guess he's walking around the mall, and he says, science is true whether you want to believe it or not. Well, you know probably where he's coming from, that science is his religion and not Jesus Christ is his Savior. But that is just foolishness. I mean, there's nothing wrong with science. I mean, I love science and all the marvelous things that have gone on and how many things that have been invented and the things for our lives and try to make it easier. In verse 21, it says, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So man rejected the grace of God, and which was given through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 22, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In other words, they rationalize what they rejected. Even though those things have been seen, they rejected it, and then they rationalize everything that they do or they don't want to do. In verse 23, it says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And so their religion of idolatry and pretty much with themselves, they become the gods of their own making. And this is what they like, you know, this is what people want. And we get down into verse 28, and it started talking about reprobate mind, reprobation. And this is the level in which man reaches when they reject God. Where else are they going to go but down? They can't help but go down. God is always up. Man is always down. When we're going to trust in this thing, and you hear so many people that if we would just make our society so and make our society like this, and if, you know, remember the time when you were supposed to be tolerant of everybody? Remember that? You have to be tolerant. But now it kind of seems like everything has shifted and they're the most intolerant people in the world. You know, if what we believe, they'll come at you and they'll even physically assault you. And we're the ones who are intolerant when everything has changed and they think what they're doing is right. It's a sad thing. But verse 24, it says God gave them up. Verse 26, it says God gave them up. Verse 28 says God gave them over. Well, it's literally speaking, God gave them up and abandoned them. Man will not always strive with man, or God will not always strive with man. And it gets to that point that it's sad. And I've had discussions with people. At what point does God give them up? I have to tell you, I don't know. I don't know, and you know something, I don't want to find out for myself. All I can do is try to tell people that there is hope. Suicide is on a rise. There's a lot of hopelessness in this world today. There's a lot of hopelessness in the United States. Opioid death is the number one in death, I guess, in the U.S. right now. And why are they doing opioids? Well, they have no hope. They got to find something to escape. And the sad part about it is they end up killing themselves in the process. But the wrath of God in the tribulation time, that is going to come. And I hope that is something that we believe. Just because he hasn't come already, which sometimes you get kind of surprised, but there's going to be a time, he says, that you think not, that he's going to call us out of here. And say, well, I'm okay, I'll do what I want, but I'll be okay. Get that stuff out of your mind. Stop thinking like that, because that is just plain silliness and foolishness. I can talk about the revelation time or the tribulation time, but I'm not going to talk about that, because the sad part about it is even people today don't have a sense of fearing God. I have heard Christians tell me to my face, I don't fear God. And I look at them, I says, you have got to be kidding me. He says, why should I be afraid of him? He's God. He's God. I mean, he's holy. He's pure. He says, but he saved me and I have no fear of him and I'll just look him straight in the face and it's good to see you. And I said, okay, I don't know if, I don't think he's going to do that. When I think he's going to be very surprised about how holy God really is. But I think those people don't have a sense of how holy he is. But we don't have to wait for fire and brimstone to fall from the heavens. And to know that, you know, people today don't fear anybody. You got people today that have no sense of fear. I mean, their conscience is, beyond seared. You know, working in a prison, you see some of these guys in there, and you look into their eyes, and there's nothing there. I mean, they're living, but there is no sense of any kind of conscience or fear. And I even talked to guys who were inmates for 20 years, guys that were hardcore bikers that had been with some of the hardest gangs around, and they were telling me, he says, there is a new inmate coming in here that we're scared of. And there are these young guys, man. We're talking 17, 18-year-old young people. They come in here and they just as soon slit your throat as look at you. They don't care who you are. They're not afraid to die. They're not afraid to kill anybody. And, you know, it comes to the point that there is no fear. No fear. And you think, well, that's not a bad way to be. I said, that's a terrible way to be. Because that is the kind of sense where no sense of eternity. There's no sense that anything is going to happen to them. Well, there's something certainly going to happen. It is going to happen. There is going to be judgment one day. There's going to be a time that they stand before a holy God. But you know, only God can get beyond that. Only God can get beyond that that seared conscience and show them. But we've got a people today, you know, we have a people today that they're not a fear of any of us. And I think they're called politicians. You know, and I don't care if they're in Washington, D.C. or they're down here in city government. How many people just are not, they don't fear us? When I was in the Northwest pastoring up there, I remember when they would come up with these taxes and people would vote on taxes, and we'd vote it down, and they'd turn around, and they'd do it anyway. You know, they would just do it anyway. That's no fear. They don't realize that they're servants, not only servants of the public, but they're servants of God. That is what government is about. Government is a blessing from heaven, but they think it's about them, you know. Hey, so I'm doing this for them. You really are doing it for them or doing it for yourself. Probably getting a kickback or something, you know. He says, you saying that they're crooked? That's what I'm saying. Because if they would just listen to whom they say they represent, in fact, I think our country kind of came about from that because there was no taxation, or there was taxation with what? Without any representation. And sure, doesn't it feel like it's like that today? But if they don't fear us, do you think they really fear God? No. They don't fear anybody. They think they're the God of themselves. And I'm sure that there's some there that would realize that that they serve people, but I don't think there's very many. And the sad part about it, it becomes a snowball effect. And he says, what are you talking about, this kind of stuff? What I'm talking about are people who have no fear of the holy. No fear of the heavenly. No fear of the Holy One of God, the ones that had come, the one who had come to seek and to save. And this kind of attitude degrades men. It debases the image of God. It strips man of his glory when they do not fear God. It robs his dignity. It steals his peace. You cannot tell me those people are at peace. They're not. This is why they act the way they do. They do live in fear. They live in torment and guilt, and yet they will not get over themselves, so they get together and they try to appease each other. It causes torment for them and their families and others. It really does convulse the conscience. Suicide occurs. It destroys relationships. It rots a good name. See, when we have no fear of God, when we abandon God and God abandons us, it is a bad thing. Thomas Watson, he says, sin puts gravel in our bread and wormwood in our cup. That's a pretty good saying. Bernard of Clairvaux says, sin is death always dying. That's what sin is. Sin is death, and it is always dying. So people run off to doctors to look for answers, or go on vacations, or find things to dull their mind or their body, or use entertainment so they don't have to think. There was a great philosopher, I believe it was in the 70s and 80s. In fact, he was on television. And he had a program called Mork and Mindy. I think it was Mork, the great philosopher, says, whoa, reality, what a concept. And it's true. If people would just live in reality, it's quite a concept. And realize that there's things that go on that are very real. And they have very real world consequences. Not only upon ourselves, but upon our spouses and our family and people we work with. There is no freedom from the bondage of sin. It perpetuates itself and draws you down. There have been studies. You know, does anybody have an ermine coat? Now, well, I guess you don't have to raise your hand because there's some people are touchy about that. But, you know, have fur coats. I have no problem with fur coats. And, I was in Korea one time, and I went out and I got fit for a small parka. And I remember I could put that thing on. It had real fur around there. And I always wondered what kind of fur that was. And then when it rained, I found out what kind of fur it was. It smelled like a dog. I still got that coat, and it gets a little wet, and it smells just like a wet dog. So I have dog fur on that thing, you know, but I have no problem with it. But ermine, you know, little ermine. Ermine, they take care of themselves. They take great care of their coats. In fact, they're very fastidious of taking care of their coats. They would rather die than defile their skin and fur. A little animal. You know, they go a great length to protect themselves. And how is it that we're talking the zenith, the very top of God's creation, man, that we do not take care of ourselves. You know, we don't. My goodness, when I was a pup, you know, when you're bulletproof and you just don't take care of yourself, you think you're going to live forever. And you find out later on, you're feeling pretty mortal, you know. But man does have this capacity, but we cannot keep ourselves pure on our own. And we cannot make up false religions. We have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for that cleansing. Jesus Christ took it all. He took care of all of it on the cross of Calvary. He took our sin. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We sing about these songs, and it is truth straight from Scripture. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, purified, when we have repented and received the Lord Jesus Christ, what has happened is we have received Him and we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and when God looks at us, what He sees is not sin. He sees righteousness through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. He does not see sin. It has been taken care of. In Psalm 5 verse 9, he says, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward parts is very wickedness." He's talking about the lost man. This is what goes on within. This is why we struggle so much. In Psalm 49 verses 11 through 13, he says, "Their inward thought is," this is the inward thought, "that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings, Selah." In other words, there was a time that, you know, we have names of places, like I know of Ephrata, Washington. There's places, called New Corinth, or, well, there's a lot of names, named from biblical names. And I'm sure that there's some even here in Texas named after biblical names. But then again, there's other places, like Post. Post was named after what? After himself. This is what he's talking about. They named those places after themselves. See. Now, I don't know if he was a believer or not, but this is what the Lord is talking about. In other words, instead of lifting up the Lord, they lift up themselves in posterity. And it says, well, the end justifies the means. Well, no, it doesn't. It just does not. But this is why God's judgments are always confused. They confuse us until we learn how to receive and recognize and rely upon the Holy Spirit. And the sad part about it is man degenerates. But there's the essence of sinfulness, and that is verse 24 and 25. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, we work so hard to make this thing look good. But you know what I found out? The older you get, you just can't make it look any better than what it is. You know. And, you know, there was a, I think I told you before, there was this husband and wife. They had gone to heaven. And this husband says, asked the Lord, he always had this question. He says, "Lord, you made my wife so beautiful, but you made her so dumb. Why?" And he said, "Well, I made her beautiful so you could love her, and I made her dumb so she could love you." You know, and sometimes that's kind of the way it goes. You know, and you say, "Well, are those women dumb?" I don't know. Maybe sometimes my wife, I always say that through my good looks and her common sense, she finally came around on me. But, and she laughed like, "Oh, pshaw," you know. But the expressions of sinfulness, look in verse 26 and 27. It says, "For this cause God gave them up to unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." You know, we wonder why that some of the disease had gone into the homosexual community. And the reason is because of stuff like that. And you say, "Well, you're talking about it's God's judgment?" What I'm talking about and what the Lord is talking about is the consequence of sin. There is always consequence. Now, let me say this. There may be people that have that leaning. Someone who has that leaning doesn't mean they're sinful. It's giving in to that leaning. That's the difference. You understand that? That is the difference. I mean, I think we all have something that we deal with. And we have to cling to the Lord so that we don't give in to whatever sin it seems like has our heart or has us. I mean, it could be a critical spirit. It could be really anything. And we say, but that's the worst. Well, we say, well, why was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? We say it was because of homosexuality. We say, no. It tells you right in Scripture. It says that there was no righteousness to be found. They could not find 10 righteous people. Not everybody was into that lifestyle. But the problem was, everybody thought it was okay. That's the problem. And you know, today we're supposed to accept all that stuff and not say anything against it. You know, if someone asks me, I gotta tell them the truth. You gotta tell the truth. I mean, you don't have to get in someone's face about it, but the fact of the matter is, everybody needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody does. And we had in 1994, I had a gentleman call me from Alaska. His name was Michael Johnston. Michael Johnston, he was a born again Christian. He got saved when he was young, and he came out of a church out of Alaska, out of Anchorage. And I know of the church and his pastor, and he says, can we come into your church? And I want to, you know, give a testimony and preach about this. Well, number one, this Michael Johnston single-handedly in the 90s stopped the homosexual movement in Alaska and Washington State of what he did. He went to the government and when they were voting on stuff. And I tell you, they wanted to kill him, the homosexual community. And, but I asked him to go to a different church because they had a larger audience, and I'd got the message from it. But he repented of his sin. He had joined the Air Force, and later on he got into the lifestyle. Well, he became HIV infected, and he repented of his sins, and he went all over the U.S. preaching about this thing, and what he would do, he'd say, well, all the young people he would ask to leave if it was maybe too hard on them, and give time for young people to get out. And he would talk very frankly about things. And he would talk about the lifestyle. But what you hear and what you see is not what is portrayed. It's because of many of those relationships are very violent. They're not very loving. And they're not healthy. And you know what's really amazing? He used all the statistics from what the community who held those statistics, he used them, and they weren't even good. And what I'm saying is that when there is temptation, temptation is not sin. Do you understand that? Temptation is not sin. It's giving in to temptation. That is sin. That's the problem. We're all tempted with something, you know. Someone might be tempted to smoke dope. Well, don't. Okay? Don't do it. You know, it was back in the 80s? Just say no. What it is, there is no temptation that has taken you that is not common to men. The Lord says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, I talked about it in Sunday school, that there is problems, there is temptation that we got to deal with. But when we know what is right, let's do what is right according to Scripture. It's as simple as that. Do right. Now, You realize that there is now a homosexual church that has been started, and it's nationwide. It is called the Metropolitan Community Church. It is MCC. Have you seen that church here in Lubbock? Yeah, it's right up here on University. And that's where it comes from, Atlanta, Georgia. All right. And I am just saying that's what's going on. It's just, it might be news to you, and you say, well, I don't know, I'm a little uncomfortable with this, but all I'm saying is when you go through books, you got to hit everything. And not saying I like this, it's just saying this is what the Lord is talking about. But these things are not uncommon. But there are people who have been abandoned by God and must reason their reasoning, because they have abandoned God themselves. God will not abandon us if we don't abandon Him. You understand that? It starts with us. It starts with us. And God doesn't say, well, I'm going to choose you to be saved, and you are left to yourself. See, that's a doctrine that of Calvinism, and you say, well, He steps over some to save others. I don't believe that. I believe it comes down to our own decision of how He deals with us. But the fact of the matter is we have to understand that we should live that righteous life before people and to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we don't live that, and I think I mentioned this last week, I listened to this quartet, and they sing hymns and things like that, the Daybreak Quartet. And one of the songs they sing is about, "You are the only Bible that anyone will ever see." And you know, that's the truth. You're going to be the only Bible that lost people will ever read. People aren't just going to open up the Bible. You're the Bible. You live, the Lord Jesus Christ lives in each and every believer, every disciple. You are the ones to show them how Christians are to live. And we're not supposed to be, I mean, he says we're a peculiar people. It doesn't say that we're weird. You know, I mean, there are weird people, you know. There's a lot of weird Christians, you know. Huh, brother. Yeah. But there's something about weird that's okay. Amen. All right. Maybe that's why we get along. Yeah. He's so quick on that one, you know. But anyway, we have to show that to him. Well, what is the extent of sinfulness? Well, let's look in verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," and that is, that word "retain" there gives the idea of possess or continue to fear God and not build your relation with the Lord. That's what that word "retain," not to retain God in their knowledge. "God gave them over to a reprobate mind." In other words, a worthless mind is what it is. It means worthless. "To do those things which are not convenient," which are unbecoming. You know, in Job chapter 21, verse 14 and 15, it says, "Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?" Really? You know, there's a lot of people, it says, well, what are we going to get out of anything that God would give us? Why should we pray to him? What are we going to get from him? I don't need God. I can take care of it myself. You know, there's a lot of Christians that live that way. You know, all they want is what God would give them to make them happy. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is a beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Man, I tell you, I remember some of the, when I went in the military, I remember some of the first guys that I had to work for. And I worked for one guy. And you've heard me talk about Chief Lou. Chief Lou was this big. And this guy, Chief Lucero, and I hated him. I told him, I said, Chief, I hate you. And he'd smile at me, and he never called me by my name. He always called me boy. Hey, boy, come on, I want to show you something. Oh, man. Chief, I hate you. You know, why me? And he, later on, I tell you, I love that guy. That guy showed me how to work. He showed me so much. He took time with me, and he put up with me. And to this day, I have such, I'm just grateful for the man. You know, you have those guys in your life. I mean, these guys that you know, they're real men. I mean, he was an alpha male, you know, packed in this little body. But I didn't want to mess with him. I was scared of this guy. I was scared to death of Chief Lou. You know, little hook nose, pencil mustache, you know, skinny guy. And he'd turn to me and he'd say, boy. And I went, oh my goodness, I knew he was talking to me, you know, boy. Don't call me boy. He'd smile and he'd say, okay, boy, let's go. And it was always boy. Oh, Chief Lou, I love Chief Lou. I wouldn't ever tell him that, you know. I'd never tell him that. But you know, when I reenlisted, I called him up. I said, would you come and be with me when I reenlist? He goes, sure, Petty Officer Anchor. You do know my name. He goes, yeah, I do. You know, he was there and I was happy. Chief Lou. Chief Lucero. And I still think about him. You know, there are people who make a difference in your life. Jesus Christ wants to make a difference in our lives. But we have to let him. We have to allow him to and retain God in our minds and be thankful and grateful for the people that God has put in our lives. And they may be a person that you hate. Chief, I hate you. I was going to get transferred into another shop. And I'm thinking, oh, finally, I'm going to get away from Chief Lou. And I said, Chief, I'm out of here. It was on a Friday. Here's my checkout sheet. And he took that thing and he smiles at me. And he signs his name and he says, I'll see you later. I said, no, you won't, Chief. I'm out of your shop. I'm gone. Monday morning, I'm back there. I'm in the new shop and here comes Chief Lou with a check-in sheet. He goes, boy, sign my check-in sheet. I went, no way. He said, you think I'd let you go? Not unless I'm going with you. And I'm like, I couldn't get away from the man, you know, but I'm grateful. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit. He never let me alone, and it was for my good. And when he deals with you, you thank God every time he deals with your heart, because he has not left you nor forsaken you. Proverbs 1:29-30 says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Man, have you ever got chewed out and just hated it? And rejected it completely. Don't reject it completely. It might be for a good reason. Jeremiah 4:22, he says, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. I like that word, sottish. It means silly, and they play that turns into foolishness, foolish children. And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Romans 1:28, it says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And it's sad. Now let me go through some of these things. We'll start in verse 29. And I'll kind of give you what these things are talking about. Verse 29, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Okay, it says, filled with all unrighteousness. That means injustice and wrongfulness. It gives the idea of the character of your life. What kind of character do you have? Fornication means adultery. Or incest. It also means idolatry. Okay. It talks about a spiritual and a fleshly idolatry. Wickedness means depraved or someone who plots sins. Covetousness, it means extortion or fraudulent, someone who is greedy. And that not just wealthy people, by the way. I mean, there are people that don't have much are some of the most greedy people I've met. Maliciousness, he's talking about someone who is always about trouble or someone who is depraved or just bad. Full of envy, it gives the idea of someone who's jealous and wants ill will on another person. Someone who wants ill will on another person. Okay? That's full of envy. Murder. Debate. It gives the idea of contention. Strife. Variance. Someone who's always ready to argue. Deceit. Deceit means someone who uses a trick, like using bait, just like a fish hook, like you're out fishing. It gives someone who is very subtle and crafty, who likes to make a decoy. Malignity. Malignity means someone with wrong character or bad manners and bad habits. Bad manners and bad habits. A whisperer, someone who slanders and defames and gives false charges, but quietly, behind everybody's back. But then there's backbiters. They do what the whisperer does out loud. All right? Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, backbiters, those are the ones who do what the whisperers do, but out loud. Haters of God, those are people who are just impious. They do things just to be wrong, just to, has anybody ever tried to mock you by saying or doing something wrong? Well, that is a hater of God, okay? Despiteful, someone who insults or maltreats or shamefully treats other people, okay? Or they have contempt for everybody. When I was young, I was very despiteful. I had contempt for everybody. I had great contempt for authority. I did not like authority. I didn't like anybody telling me what to do. I hated authority. Till I found out that authority is there for a good reason. Proud, in other words, someone who's haughty, a boaster, a braggart. I wish that all my stories ended up with me the hero, and normally all my stories, I ended up being the goat, you know. I was never many of the heroes of my stories, but that's what makes stories good, because normally it was you're never the hero. Inventor of evil things, one who discovers how to injure things or people. These people are very noisome, or they're, you know, disobedient to parents. Now, these are people who are obstinate to authority, and they resist any kind of treatment. People that are disobedient to, not just parents, but people who want to try to help you, and they refuse to do anything they'll do. Listen, this is going on along there with witchcraft and murders. And you think, well, it's not that bad, but it's in the midst of all these. All right? These things are not good. Without understanding, people that are, let's look in verse 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. All right? Without understanding, people that are foolish and wicked and will not receive a helpful comment or adjustment. Again, that was me. I just wouldn't listen. Covenant breakers, people that are treacherous. These are people that will not agree to anything. And if they do, they're going to cheat you. People without natural affection. In other words, they cherish nothing, and they have hardened their heart to those that are family. Okay? Harden their heart. And those are without natural affection. Did you hear about this, this lady, I think it was in, I want to say Georgia, who threw their, 3-month-old baby or something down a cliff? And somebody was out and heard this baby, you know? And I'm thinking, how in the world, that is someone who has no natural affection for their child. A mother would do something like that. I don't get that, you know? I mean, I know there was a few times when I was older, my mother wanted to throw me out of the car, and for good reason, but it's, how can people do that, you know? Or beat up a baby? I don't get it. Implacable. Implacable, those are people that are truceless. They are unforgiving. They are ruthless, and they have no pity. Unmerciful, those are people that have no active compassion, and they are merciless. And, you know, I think we see that all the time anymore in this world. And it goes on to say, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God. And this is what's amazing. Look at this last verse. Who knowing the judgment of God. Did you get that? Who knowing the judgment of God. That they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now, when he's talking about these people, he's not talking to people that are ignorant of this. He's talking to people that know what's going on. He knows what the Bible says, what God says, and yet live in those few verses. And that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and they know it, and they continue on. Not only do the same, but sadly, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now that is someone God's going to give up. They know what God is going to do by the things that they do. And they turn their back. They know God is going to deal with them about that. But he says, you know, Lord, I don't fear you. I don't care about you. But I'm going to have pleasure in this. And you know something? Those are the people that God will give up. I pray, if you know somebody that's in this kind of a situation, that you pray hard for those people. You pray hard. Because they know what they're doing, and they don't care. They don't care who it hurts, and they spit in the face of God. Now that, those are the people that God will give up. And that is a very sad thing. You know, it's Mother's Day. There's nothing like a mother's love. Nothing on this earth. Nothing like a mom's love. I mean, you find some of these ladies, man, they turn into mother bears. Mother bears when it comes to their kids. And I appreciate that. But you know, God's love is so much greater. Is so much greater that a mother would give up herself for her child. But it was the Father who gave up the Son for us. And, you know, let's be reminded. Turn over to 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to finish with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And it says, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He uses that as a question. Don't you know that? Be not deceived. And it goes through the whole thing again. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But look in verse 11. And such were some of you. You know, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You know, when we get to be very judgmental about the sin of other people, we need to stop and remember where we came from and where God has saved us out from. Amen. And I like that. And we don't have to be so judgmental about people in their sin, but to love them and tell them the result of what's going to happen could be very bad, but it's still up to them. Problem is we agonize over them when they don't agonize over themselves. If you're going to agonize over them, you agonize over them before God. There was a song that my children would sing when we would go to church, and they would, I don't know, they had all these songs, but one of them was, you can talk about me, but I will talk about you upon my knees. You know, I don't remember how that song went. Some of you might remember it, but it's a great song for young people, and I still remember that. You may talk about me to others, but I'm going to talk about you on my knees before God. And that's how we talk about people, upon our knees before God, and ask God to help them. Amen? That's what we do. That's what Christians do. I know moms do that. I know my mom prayed for me a lot. Oh, Lord, don't let them die tonight doing something stupid. You know. But I know that because of mother's prayers and prayers of others that weren't mothers, I'm just grateful for those people that prayed for me and that God dealt with my heart.